The Setzer Church Leaders Podcast is part of the Church Leaders Podcast Network, which is dedicated to resourcing church leaders in order to help them face the complexities of ministry today. The Church Leaders Podcast Network supports pastors and ministry leaders by challenging assumptions, by providing insights, and offering practical advice and solutions and steps that will help church leaders navigate the variety of cultures and contexts that we're serving in. Learn more at churchleaders.com/podcastnetwork.
Welcome to the Setzer Church Leaders Podcast, conversations with today's top ministry leaders to help you lead better every day. And now, here are your hosts, Ed Setzer and Daniel Yang.
Welcome to the Setzer Church Leaders Podcast, where we're helping Christian leaders navigate and lead through the cultural issues of our day. My name's Daniel Yang, National Director of Churches of Welcome at World Relief, and today we're talking to Michael Martin. Michael is the President and CEO of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, or ECFA. He's passionate about helping churches and Christ-centered ministries maintain high standards of financial integrity, and he's joining us today to discuss the new leadership standard ECFA has just announced. Now let's go to Ed Setzer, Editor-in-Chief of Outreach Magazine and the Dean of the Talbot School of Theology.
Hey, it's so good to have you and have this conversation with you. We're kind of excited because I think this is an important issue and an important time. We've already heard our guests introduced, but Michael, we're in a time when sometimes evangelical ministries have credibility questions. Sometimes they have credibility problems. Sometimes they are on the front page of the newspaper and more. And a lot of them is around financial, and we're going to talk some about that. But I want you to tell us a little about the ECFA. Now, I should just give disclosure to everybody that I'm, you know, the organization I'm a part of, have been a member of the ECFA. I recommend the ECFA, but I also got some questions I think that probably other people are asking as well. So let's start with kind of, if you wouldn't mind, go back a little bit of the history, because it comes from a need in the past, and then kind of move us into kind of what's the purpose and how do you serve these ministry leaders?
Yeah, absolutely. And Ed, it is great to be with you. Thank you for being a partner with ECFA, who, like you said, just shares that same heart for ministry integrity and accountability and trust. And really, that's what it all comes back to here at ECFA, which is Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And again, we have the privilege of being able to serve both Christian ministries as well as donors related to their needs around trust. So for Christian ministries to be able to help them maintain that healthy and trusted reputation so that they can more effectively reach the world for Christ. We know that trust is a huge fuel to helping make that happen. And then from the donor side, we see it all around us that as trust in institutions is on the decline, how do we as Christian donors, as we're evaluating different giving opportunities, say, this is an organization where I can really feel good about giving generously and investing. This is an organization that operates by high standards of accountability. ECFA is there to help do that, and uniquely from the place of biblically based standards of accountability. So there's a new standard, a new initiative that we're launching here at ECFA. But even going back to the beginning, you know, as well as I do, many of the leaders who, you know, were around at the time that ECFA was formed, we have this new generation of leaders who may not even be aware of the full history of ECFA. And so when we started 45 years ago, same thing, it all really began around the need for bold standards to help enhance trust. And so back at that time when ECFA was formed, leaders came together around, you know, there were some fundraising scandals that were going on at the time. But these organizational leaders came around and said, we need these bold standards in areas like financial accountability and good governance. So ECFA even proposing this idea of organizations having audited financial statements at a time when virtually no nonprofits had audits, or independent boards when leaders would have said, we just think we're accountable to God. So that has been the, you know, history of ECFA over all these years, is to have those bold standards of accountability. And here we are, we're getting ready to propose a new one as well.
Good. And I want to talk about that in just a minute. I want to come back to the kind of the bold standards of accountability, because it doesn't, in some ways, it doesn't seem bold in 2024. It was bold a few decades ago, that the idea that your board shouldn't be all of your family members, right? You can't be an ECFA. Am I the only person who does the EFCA, ECFA thing?
Anyway. You are not the only one.
I love the Evangelical Free Church in America. So it's thankful that for those who are watching on video, he actually has the logo behind his head, so I can say ECFA. Okay, so those were, I mean, the idea that there would be audits were, I mean, those were bold standards, but now I don't know that for most people, those would see they are kind of minimal standards, and yet in many places they're still not followed. And here's my question for you, because I think some people have been around enough the last few years that they've seen some financial scandals erupt. And they typically don't just tend to be a financial way. There's typically multiple ways, but sometimes with ECFA members. So talk to us a little bit about that. Why, if that's the case, why should we have confidence in those standards? Before we even get to the new standards, let's talk about the prior standards.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So, I think, Ed, for organizations, I mean, with the ECFA having been around for decades now, these are time-tested standards. You know, many of them have become sort of accepted standard practice. And I think that speaks to a lot of actually the success of ECFA. But one of the ongoing values as well is not just to have a set of standards that organizations aspire to, but also an organization that would come alongside and help provide that layer of accountability for organizations as well. So in addition to the ECFA standards, having a biblically based model of accountability so that as a donor, again, you have that confidence and assurance of saying there is this outside third party who is also working with this organization to make sure that they maintain that commitment to integrity. And one of the unique aspects of ECFA's model as well is an annual accreditation renewal process. So it's not just sort of this one time, hey, we made application with this organization, and it's certainly not a rubber stamp in any way. It's a very rigorous evaluation process. And then each year we're working alongside our members to make sure that they're maintaining those high standards of accountability.
Yeah. Okay. So then let me just press a little bit more, because how then do sometimes ministries that have the ECFA logo on them end up doing things that then look financially, or are in many cases financially inappropriate? And it's because you've made the case that, and I want this case, we need you to be thriving and successful. Because, and again, I think partly, again, people have to have a little bit of a historic understanding of just how Wild West this is. And for example, there's a very famous story I was just sharing with somebody in Buffalo, where this pastor in Buffalo is called Churchill was his name. And you can Google Churchill Tabernacle, and it's the first, it's kind of the first, he owned the TV station, like he owned the TV station personally, and the building and everything else. And then, when he falls, the whole thing collapses. And anyway, it's called Churchill Tabernacle. It's one of the most famous church failures you've never heard of. And like, we would think today, wait, the pastor owned the television station? The pastor owned the church? We would be shocked by that. But we've also come a long way from those days. In the 40 plus years that you've been doing this, you have helped shape the conversation that ministries get audits. And they say that, like, my church, I mean, even I would say even people that aren't members of the ECFA, they'll get audits, and they board governance is better. But again, we've also had some failures with ECFA logos on the front page that came out of those failures. Tell me how you, because you're new, right? So, but tell me how you would say we should see that. And what does ECFA do when something begins to bubble up like that?
Yeah, those are great questions. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak into that as well. And, I think one thing that's fair to acknowledge as well, and this is true even in the lives of our own personal accountability, if you think about it, is that, having those guardrails in place, they are there to be preventative and to be proactive. But even with the ECFA standards, it's not necessarily a guarantee of all the time perfection, right? So we live in a fallen world. We know those things are going to happen. Same thing in the case of audited financial statements. An organization pursues having those audited financial statements. It's not necessarily a guarantee that fraud is not going to happen. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that organizations shouldn't have these wise guardrails in place. And so the value add to for ECFA, or what we would contribute, is in a situation too where whether it's proactively through ECFA's accountability processes, us each year helping organizations identify if there's a gap or a failure in compliance, our team helping an organization rise back up to that level of accountability through the annual accreditation. Maybe it's also one of our periodic check-ins with members and being proactive in that way. The other process that's helpful as well too, and this is something that all folks should know, is that on the ECFA website, if you're a donor to an organization as well, and you have a question or you have a concern about an organization's adherence to the standard, there's actually a process that you can go through as well to share those questions, to share those concerns, to work with ECFA to clear up any of those questions, to help those be resolved. And that's an important part of accountability as well, is being able to have that process in place. So that's a unique way that ECFA can help come in and really help strengthen the integrity and accountability for the good of organizations and for the good of donors.
Yeah. So what happens if somebody goes in, you know, I serve at Biola University, which I, you know, and, or, you know, let's not use my example, but I think we have great governance here, but let's say I got questions about the governance of an organization or an institution, if it meets those standards. So you submit that, and then what does ECFA do? I mean, not a specific circumstance, but what in general do they do?
Yeah, so we do have a team of folks here on the ECFA staff who are CPAs by background. So that's another uniqueness of the ECFA model as compared to, say, some of the other charity evaluators that might be out there, is we have, you know, folks who are trained professionals who understand financial statements, they understand the ECFA standards well. And, you know, they will be on the other side of any of those inquiries that come in or those questions. And, you know, Ed, you'll probably appreciate, I mean, a lot of times it may even be just a question that needs to be answered or a misunderstanding. Many times that we may be involved in a situation too, it's encouraging that donor, if they haven't already, to have some of those questions directly answered by the ministry as well. And so we're able to provide kind of that linkage in the relationship too between a donor and an organization. But at the same time, there are also protocols, there are processes in place where if for some reason, again, we do identify that an organization is out of compliance with the ECFA standards, we do have a redemptive model of accountability. There are some processes where, and this is ultimately an ECFA board determination, but there is an opportunity for a suspension or even in some cases a termination of membership where more time is needed, you know, for an organization to take that corrective action. And during that time, the organization wouldn't be displaying the ECFA seal of accountability. And that's something that donors can be watching for.
Right. Makes sense. So for me, I was like, again, I think it's important for people to understand just where we were and how far ECFA has taken us. But also too, I remember talking to Rick Warren once. I think he said this in other places, so I'm not breaking a rule here. We were talking about accountability groups, and there was a pastor we saw who had committed adultery. And I think somehow it came up that this pastor was in an accountability group. And Rick, I think Rick's not dismissive of that, but he said he noticed that, like, if you're in an accountability or a group or not, if you're going to want to have an affair, if that's going to be what you're going to do, you're going to find a way to do it. And it does seem that the ECFA standards give us guardrails that certainly weren't there 40 plus years ago, but they don't keep everybody from doing bad things. And I think that's partly, and again, I don't think, so I'm encouraged by, a few months ago, I think it was Warren Bird reached out to me about your new leadership standards. And I liked it because I think it gives us some more ways to lean in on this because I mean, the people who make bad financial decisions are people who've made bad leadership decisions. Or gotten themselves into a situation, a cycle when that's okay. So you commissioned this task force in 2021. Talk to us a little about what's the task force purpose, and then we'll kind of unpack a little bit about it because I know there's some new standards have been added.
That's right. So yeah, as we come together for this conversation, the big news from ECFA is that we did just announce a new accreditation standard for ECFA members. And like you said, Ed, it's a standard that's called a leadership standard, and it really focuses on leader care, proactive care for the leader. How this task force came about is several years ago, as we started hearing more concern from Christian ministry leaders and also the donor community around some of the challenges in the leadership space, and not always necessarily an integrity failure, but even the number of leaders who are burning out, dropping out of ministry, some of those challenges in leadership, and the impact that they're having on trust. Ed, we had more of those folks coming to ECFA and saying, hey, we recognize where ECFA has been in the past, but now here we are in this day where leadership is really the trust issue of our day, if not one of the most significant trust issues of their of our day. Is there anything that ECFA can do in its unique role in the body of Christ to be able to help? And so that is how that task force was formed. And then there was research that was conducted, a lot of focus groups, conversations with members, and happy to share about what we learned. But that's how that task force came about. That was 3 years ago, and then leading all the way up to the announcement of this new leadership standard.
Yeah, so new standards, like how long has it been since you added a new leadership standard?
Yeah, the last ECFA accreditation standard major revision that we made was 10 years ago, and it was in the area of compensation setting, which is also one of those hot button issues and an important one related to trust for donors. So that was 10 years ago.
Okay. So because part of the challenges is that leaders, I mean, the reason that we generally have financial failures is we have leaders who are failing, and sometimes it's interesting. Sometimes they get caught up in the own system that they create, and they're not sure how to deal with that. And so one of the things is this has to do with leadership. So the new leadership standard says this, I'm going to quote it. Every organization shall proactively care for its leader and support the integrity of its leader in conformity with the ECFA's policy for excellence in supporting leadership integrity. Obviously, those are carefully chosen words. Tell us about the wording of that standard, why you phrase it the way you did.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I will admit there is some technical nuance in some of the language, right? Of every organization shall, right? That is really consistent with, you know, the language and the framing is with the other ECFA standards. But yes, the focus really around the proactive care for the leader and the support for the leader's integrity. I think, Ed, ultimately, the consensus of this task force, and as we did our research and conversations with members, is there was the acknowledgement of that reality that you mentioned before, which is at the end of the day, a standard that would be like, assuming ECFA could step into being like a moral police or regulating the character or behaviors of ministry leaders, that would not be fruitful. That would not be wise for a number of reasons. But if there is something,
I just say that wouldn't be the worst thing for somebody to do. But anyway, I get that it's a little bit tricky because you're right. You're this parallel, this organization that comes alongside. But yes, I agree with you. That's why we used to have denominations, and as the world become more non-denominational or disconnected, I get it. Okay, but keep going. Sorry.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And just thinking of ECFA's role in the body of Christ, how we can most effectively make a difference. It really came down to this idea of, yes, acknowledging that leaders individually, I mean, they bear that responsibility for their own integrity, their health. But governance has also, good board governance has also been that pillar of ECFA as well over all of these years. And so building upon that, this idea that while the leader bears that personal responsibility in those areas, that the board of a ministry organization, they do have a unique responsibility and an opportunity to be able to come alongside a leader to help offer proactive care and support for the leader. And so that's
I'm assuming accountability. It says support the integrity of the leader. I think, you know, these failures of board governance have been so widely seen. So how does that all relate together? The accountability, the care, I know they're all connected. So how does that connect in the new standards? Or is that in the old standards that you're adding to? Tell me about that.
Yeah, no, there absolutely is a connection. And so in that one sentence statement, there's also a cross-reference to what we call the ECFA policy for excellence in supporting leadership integrity. That's embedded in commentary to the standard. And so there are some specific steps there as well around making sure that we're establishing biblical character expectations for leaders through something like a code of conduct. Now, that may sound basic in some ways, but there's a lot of organizations that haven't actually even taken a step like that to be able to work alongside a leader and say, we're establishing biblical character expectations for the leader of the organization. So that is one component, one objective piece of how the standard is measured, is making sure organizations have adopted those. And then also, personally, where I really, again, feel like the gold is buried here, is also in the requirement that an organization's board, or it could be a board-approved committee, that at least on an annual basis, we're having conversations with the leader as well to say, hey, how can we also come alongside and be proactive? And in light of the season of ministry that you're in light of the challenges that you're facing, how can we come alongside and help support you as a leader in your integrity holistically, in the holistic sense as a whole person, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, and all of those pieces? Because the more that we're able to invest there, hopefully we're able to get ahead of even potentially some of those issues that might manifest later in terms of the behavior of a leader.
Okay. So, and I think, you know, having seen leaders go off the rails, I think that is, I mean, there are warning signs, and I got to tell you, there's lots of blame to go around. I think, failed leaders, you know, now we watch these movies and they have like an origin story there's an origin story to leadership failures in almost all the leaders that I've seen fail. And then there's people come alongside and enable or get caught up in or don't address. And that's where board failures come in. And then there's, and so moving these things up to address the sin in all of us, if we're individual sinners, sins enter systems as well. Then the question is, how do we best do that? So the new standard is addressing some things. I mean, it's a new standard. So the current standards are not. Give me a little, I mean, I read one of them, but give me some of the details of things that the new standards addressing that the current standards are not.
Right. Yeah. So up to this point, we haven't had any standard that's really focused squarely on the leader and supporting healthy leadership. Now, there have been some other, because sometimes we'll get the question too of, well, how does this relate to financial accountability in ECFA's mission? And so with many of the standards, it's okay in areas of things like appropriate transparency and financial transparency, ethical fundraising, all of those as financial issues. Those are current standards, but then also some non-financial standards as well that also lay a foundation for the rest of the financial accountability standard. So things like commitment to an evangelical statement of faith, that's standard one. That's where it all starts. And then following up on that, responsible board governance, which is our standard number two currently. This new standard on leadership, we feel like it's in that same vein as the commitment to the evangelical mission and also responsible board governance. Supporting healthy leadership really lays the foundation, a strong foundation, for the rest of the ECFA financial accountability standards.
Yeah. Leaders who have failed in areas of their integrity will often find ways around seek to find ways, and sometimes successfully find ways around their board governance, and particularly if they're good at it. And that's when it gets really really bad and really problematic. So in a sense, I mean, we can all acknowledge that, again, back to that Rick Warren thing about being in an accountability group. If I want to, I can go to accountability group every week and tell people I'm not doing something. But if I'm secretly trying to do something, it's hard to address some of those things. So these are, even these standards, you kind of mentioned that they have flexibility and not highly prescriptive. So I feel the weight of failures and scandals and both the harm to the Christian witness, which is deeply important to me, also to the failures and the blast radius that hurts so many people in some of these larger church failures. So if that's the case, what are some ways to meet these standards that you think by meeting these standards will make these ministries better?
Yeah, and I might just add one other point to what you're sharing earlier about in some cases, failure being inevitable in a sense. I think it is important too to distinguish that ECFA accredits organizations,
right,
and we don't accredit individuals. And right. So, in terms of,
it'd be great if somebody could accredit individuals, but that's another story for another day. Okay,
right. We'll leave that to someone else. But no, it is again. In terms of how we would objectively measure compliance, it is just making sure that organizations are taking those proactive steps to help support the leader in those areas and following those minimums. So I just wanted to make sure to make that
helpful
point too. Yeah, the accreditation is for organizations.
Okay, so then with that being said, so how would an organization, which again, I really need it to impact individuals because I think that's where, again, systems themselves can become problematic. But how would these new standards, again, it's not highly prescriptive, but how are people going to fulfill this standard and how is it going to make the organizations better so that individuals, well, function more effectively in a healthy organization?
Yeah. Well, I think there's a couple points there. You know, one is, Ed, you had mentioned that the task force that was formed and all the research that's been done. I think one of the things that is so striking, and again, this comes back to the tone, the tone of care for the leader that's here in the standard, is one of the things that was just so loud and clear is the unique pressures, the demands that ministry leaders face, and often in isolation, which only makes some of these problems worse and compounds. And so just speaking to the difference that this standard could make is for organizations to even point to and say, okay, it's even a requirement of our ECFA accreditation for this conversation to need to take place. And so we've crafted the standard too in a way where it's really scalable because with over 2,700 accredited churches and ministries across the country, you know, we range from some of the largest, you know, most household names in Christian ministry to many of the smaller, more modest-sized ministries as well. So this standard needs to be done in a way where it's really scalable. And so different approaches that can be taken. I mean, if you're a one of those smaller ministries and you just have a handful of people on your board, I mean, this could be even as simple as identifying, hey, who is that board member who serves with you who maybe their spiritual gift is more pastoral? Appointing that person to have those ongoing conversations with the leader, the check-ins with the leader, and the incredible difference that even something as simple as that might make for larger organizations. And as we've done some of these focus groups and even looked at models that have been successful, and some of the larger ones, Ed, too, they might say, okay, the full board or a certain group is not necessarily the right ones to tackle this, but they may even appoint like a special committee on the president or a president's care committee who's appointed for that role to be able to be in ongoing conversation with the leader. Some of the most successful models that we've seen as well have been ones that aren't even focused just on the leader, but also involve the leader's spouse and recognizing the importance of that as well. So again, there are certain minimum criteria in order for organizations to meet the standard, but there's also going to be a lot of freedom and flexibility within that framework to adapt depending on the size and the needs of the organization.
Yeah. And you know what some people are going to say. Some people say caring for the leader is not what we need. We need to, you know, put a lid on the leaders. We need to, you know, and you get that. There's always this tension. But I got to tell you, having seen people get caught up in the machine that they created, you know, the desires that drive them, I got to grow and build a great church. I mean, the desires that drive them eventually became the demons that dragged them down. I've seen this, and I would see this intersection point. And something, I was talking to Phil Ryken, president of Wheaton College, when he was the pastor at in Philadelphia. He said that the elder board was the elder board, and they were the governance. And Presbyterians have a much higher, you know, my denomination sort of Wild West on governance. But Presbyterians, the elders, the session can have a much higher governance. But there was also, I think he said, two people on that session whose job it was to provide pastoral care for him as a leader. And I think that we could have a lot less villain origin stories of some pastors if some pastors had people speaking into their lives earlier in the process so that they might avoid ending up making the small bad decisions that become the medium bad decisions that become the big bad decisions as well. Anyway, I shouldn't, this is your interview and I'm asking too many questions.
It's so true. And you're right that I think one of the things we've seen too is a lot of times board members maybe even have good intentions. They just don't know where to start. They don't know how to strike up a conversation like this. And so prayerfully, the ECFA standard will kind of be that impetus, the resources, some of the training that we'll offer will be able to help equip board members in that space. And then I also, as you were sharing too, Ed, I was thinking of some of the findings from our research too, showing there was a pretty significant gap between the reality in the view of the leader of an organization in terms of how the board is providing any kind of care and support for their integrity versus the views of board members. There was just this significant gap between what leaders said was, you know, in their reality versus what board members thought they were doing.
Yeah, so good. I have I remember I tweeted one. I wrote an article about this once. I was at Wheaton at the time, and I said, I have a boss. Her name at the time was Margaret Diddams. I have a board. The Billy Graham Center had a board, and they hold me accountable. And so I'm really like, I'll tweet after our Biola board meeting. Here we have a university board, but I have a boss, I have a provost who's the boss. And I will tell you, as somebody who loves to lead, who loves to make a difference for the gospel, I think it's a gift to have somebody to whom I'm accountable. Now, there's all kinds of people out there, they want you to be accountable to them. But I have someone to whom I'm accountable. But in most of these kinds of situations, particularly in the Wild West of evangelical entrepreneurialism, I mean, you have to make a choice to be accountable. And I would just say, we're coming to the end of our podcast. I would just say, if you're a pastor or church leader, I've seen just the on the side of the road, leader after leader, who I saw start well. I said on the Rise and Fall of Mars Hill podcast, their ability elevated them to positions their character was not ready to handle. And I'm of the view that, again, particularly historically, we've come a long way with the ECFA. It's not perfect. I think people will and do find ways to do bad things. But I think one of the ways we address that is help people do better in relationship with boards and leaders so that we have healthier structures. Unhealthy structures produce unhealthy and often create those origin stories that we look back and say, oh, we should have done something then. So this is one way to do something then. But I know now we're early on interviewing this, and, you know, full disclosure, you guys shared some of these things with me beforehand, kind of in the process, not just me, but you're getting input, but you're still receiving input. This podcast comes out right after. Now, you know, if you listen to this podcast 2 years from now, you know, we know podcasts live forever. But if you're listening to this podcast in early 24, you're still seeking input. So how would people find out more information and give input of this as well?
Yeah. So the place to go to is ecfa.org/leadership-standard. Try to make that as easy as possible. ecfa.org/leadership-standard. You can see the full standard there, the commentary to the standard as well, some of these key insights, FAQs. But yes, we're also in an important window right now, which again, this is a standard that's been inspired by ECFA members. It has been prayerfully considered, task force, you know, and research, all of these different pieces kind of leading to where we're at today. But we are still in that phase two of listening, and we want to be able to hear feedback. We also want to be able to hear, Ed, from folks who would say, you know, as I'm thinking about just the very practicals, like we've talked about on this podcast, the very practicals of what does this look like to implement this within our unique organization, our unique context. We also want to be able to hear from folks as well to help speak into those future resources that'll be coming from ECFA. And I thought of one other thing too, as you were sharing earlier about just the impact of this standard and what you've seen as it's been kind of played out. And I'll never forget, Ed, just talking to one younger leader, and he was in the midst of, I think he had recently just kind of come into his role, and there was a transition from a longtime leader. And this younger leader was advocating for more of this accountability, more of this even care from the board. And he had some board members who had been there for a long time saying, hey, what are you doing? Why are you, you know, inviting all of these pieces? And you know what that leader, this young leader said? He said, I feel safer with this kind of accountability, this kind of environment of the board being able to come alongside and help support me in my integrity. So we're prayerful that other leaders will experience that as well.
Yeah. And I will tell you that, you know, I don't think, Michael Martin, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for the ECFA. I don't think that you're going to be able to fix every problem. But I do think that to see where we've been from 45 years ago till now, to see that this has been a tool that's been helpful for a lot of people. I think, and ultimately too, the ECFA is not your denomination and it's not your board. So you need to have structures and systems like that. And then the ECFA is a tool to help you to say, well, this is what would look like if we're doing that standards. Now, if you and your board are saying this is what it looks like to get around those standards, then you're in a different place. But I think that this can be a helpful tool, and I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you leaning in and listening to some of the challenges of the last few years, and for being a tool in the toolbox for churches and ministries that want to be more effective in, well, in six healthy long-term leadership with integrity, personally and with finances and more. So thanks for taking the time to talk with us today.
Hey, thank you. It's been an honor, and we're prayerful that it will. It'll make a real impact.
We've been talking to Michael Martin. You can learn more about him and the ECFA's new standard at ecfa.org. Thanks again for listening to the Stetzer Church Leaders podcast. You can find more interviews as well as other great content for ministry leaders at churchleaders.com/podcast. And again, if you found our conversation today helpful, love for you to take a few moments, leave us a review. That'll help other ministry leaders find us and benefit from our content. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in the next episode.
You've been listening to the Stetzer Church Leaders podcast. For more great interviews, as well as articles, videos, and free resources, visit our website at churchleaders.com. Thanks for listening.